Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and our guest today is, of course, our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. But I will lead in prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Bishop Jackson. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us and the great grace that you pour out in our lives. We thank you for fatherhood. Thank you for the family. We're celebrating traditional marriage and family month, and so we're grateful for your design of the family, and our culture is twisting it and turning it and trying to make it other things out of it, but Lord, we come back to you, and we recognize that you are the one who created male and female, and you put them, you brought them together, and a father and a mother coming together and propagating and multiplying and having children and generations. There, you know, you've populated the earth, and you continue to. In fact, Malachi says that you desire godly offspring, and we can't have that without godly fathers. And so, as we look forward to Father's Day this Sunday, we want to thank you again for our fathers and for those who have fathered us who may not have been our biological fathers, but yet have given us an example of what it means to be men. So I thank you for Bishop Jackson. I thank you for the role that his father played in his life and how he learned then also to be a good father. And so we ask, as he shares with us today on Father's Day, that you would speak through him and enable us to see the great plan that you have for us as a culture, as a society, to continue to move forward and not get all tied up in the way that the culture has twisted things. So again, thank you. Thank you for these patriots on this call. Thank you for all the work that they're doing, and we ask that you would continue to bring about that great awakening that you have begun here in this country so that we can get back to the way that you planned it in the first place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Now, thank you.
Okay, go ahead. I was about to introduce you again, but I think I did that once, so go ahead, Bishop.
That's okay. Well, first of all, thanks everybody for joining us. And look, I wanted to do this particular call because, as you all know, this is what I call Sexual Perversion Child Grooming Month. They call it Pride Month. It's really pride and perversion, pride and sin, pride and depravity, and we're seeing that writ large. And we thought, instead of just cursing the darkness and complaining about they're taking what used to be associated with the June Bride and turning it into June Pride, that we would create our own celebration of traditional marriage and family and really emphasize that. Make no mistake about it, folks. We are in the middle of a cultural revolution. And that is not an overstatement. That is just a fact. We are in the middle of a cultural revolution. And if you are observing what's going on around you, you know it's true. Every institution of cultural influence has been co-opted by this mindset of moral and cultural relativism that has now substituted Judeo-Christian values for this postmodern set of moral ideas that have really just come out of the heart of the devil. They're just totally demonic. But it's what we are facing. And so this is one way we have of beating back the darkness by turning on the light. By the way, September is Celebrate American History Month. We do a similar thing there with September. So we now have 2 months out of the year that we're dedicating to these ideals that we think are important to helping to save our country. Well, Father's Day is coming up, and I wanted to talk about Father's Day specifically and then use that to talk about the broader implications of what is going on in our culture. And then I want to open it up for questions and comments because I do have a very, very important question for you all. First, let me just observe, when I started fighting these so-called culture wars back in the early 80s. The first issue I got involved with was the push in Massachusetts to create what was called a gay rights bill. I think they called it that at that point. But it was, the point was to enshrine sexual orientation into the statutory framework of Massachusetts law, so that in addition to race and sex and religion, and you couldn't discriminate against people on the basis of sexual orientation. And one of the things that we kept saying during that time was, this is a slippery slope. Once you open this floodgate, there is no telling where it's going to lead, but it won't be good. We were told repeatedly, oh, no, there's no slippery slope. That we're not, there's no slippery slope. It's not going to lead to anything. This is something entirely separate. This is just about keeping people from being discriminated against irrationally and stopping them from having the ability to work, to have some place to live and all that. I never bought it. And now here we are 40 years later, and it's quite obvious that it wasn't a slippery slope. I mean, it was an almost 90-degree slope. I mean, it's just one long slide into the abyss, frankly. And we're all being smeared in the muck and the mire. And just the most recent example, I'm sure you saw the president having this homosexual fest on the White House grounds, which he put the apparently they got this new gender confusion flag now, which I guess, I don't know whether that's supposed to be a replacement for the other homosexual flag or just what the deal is, but they put that up, which is a violation of flag protocol. They put that up at center place, and they put American flags beside it, as if that's the important flag, and then the American flag is kind of the companion flag. And then the Air Force showed a meme or graphic, it wasn't a picture, but a sort of a drawing or a meme of an airman saluting the homosexual flag, saluting not the American flag, but the rainbow flag. This is just emblematic of where we are in our culture, because who would have thought, oh, and by the way, let me add this with the White House deal. I'm sure you all probably read this. But apparently some of these homosexuals actually, I guess, guys who had some kind of breast implants or augmentation or whatever, went around bare-breasted, and some of them who were women who had their breasts removed were showing their scars from the surgery. I mean, this is just, and this is supposed to be a family friendly event. It's just depraved, and Biden's up there praising these people for their courage. I mean, it is really darkness and demonic. And by the way, not to put too fine a point on this, but more and more we are seeing the connection between this stuff and witchcraft and Satanism, because as you all know, this guy who's a Satanist was doing some of the clothing and designs for Target, and we're putting the satanic symbol on the clothing. Well, now this actress, her name will come to me. You all may be familiar with her, but she's not an A-lister, but sort of one of these more sexual actresses who, in fact, I think I got the article here somewhere, but she's raising her sons to be gender neutral. She's raising her sons to be gender neutral, which means she puts dresses on them and she puts makeup on them and all this stuff. And when she was criticized, she basically fired back that, you know, you mess with the wrong witch. She's basically proclaiming she is a witch and she will cast a spell and whatever in order to stop what she considers to be inappropriate treatment, because of the fact that she is basically messing her sons up. And apparently one of her neighbors heard one of her sons, or maybe both of them, I think she's got two of them, say how disgusted they were that their mother was making them put on girls' clothes. And they didn't like it, and they didn't appreciate it. but she was forcing them into it. And a neighbor, he happens to be a Christian, said, I heard it, I saw it. She can say what she wants to say, but I know what her son said, and they didn't like it. But here again, this stuff is just totally demonic. And the sad thing is, as you all can see, even Chick-fil-A is bowing to this mess now. And it pretty much, it seems every major corporation of every kind, and there may be some exceptions, obviously, but this stuff has swept the entire corporate world, the banking world. And it's like an infection, like a poison that is slithering its way through the culture, taking everything and everybody down. Now, of course, one of the things that they've got to take down in order to affect this, and obviously the church would be included, the military would be included, they're going after those institutions too, but the family has got to go. As the family, as we know it, has got to go in order for them to affect the kind of change they're seeking. And so they're denigrating the family at every turn. And they are persecuting anybody who stands up for the traditional family. I just read an article this morning about a guy who got fired from his job. He's suing because they kept pressing him to put his pronouns on his signature, his email signature. And he resisted and resisted. And finally he said, okay, you want me to put my pronouns up? He put up designed by God. They fired him. They fired him for putting designed by God on his email signature. You can put who knows what. You can put I'm a furry. You can put I like bestiality. You can put, you know, I'm a MAP, and minor attracted persons, which is now the new euphemism for pedophile. I guess you could put any of that stuff. It would be okay. But to put up designed by God, now that's offensive. That's horrible. You can't work here. We don't want you around because you're a bad person. Now that's frankly where we are. And by the way, let me just add this. I think that when you cut through all of the other stuff that is going on in the world of politics, if we don't begin to talk about the fact that we've got to come back to God and to godly principles, to Judeo-Christian ideals and principles, and that we have got to rebuild the American family and make it the centerpiece of our culture, the family, not this homosexual nonsense and all this craziness, but the family as God designed it, one man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. If we don't come back to those two fundamental principles, the rest, frankly, is just rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. It really is. And by the way, I'm certainly not against having these policy debates and discussions. I'm just saying that they don't go to the heart of the matter. I mean, because look, think about this. We can have a discussion all day long about, okay, what's the best time to try to cut off abortion? Okay, 15 weeks, 21 weeks, 6 weeks. The fact of the matter is we need to be a pro-life culture. And if that is a baby worthy of protection at 15 weeks, well, what about 14 weeks, 6 days? You see, it just the logic of it, it doesn't work. And now here again, right, you save some lives, and that's why I say I'm not against the policy discussion. You save some lives, and praise God for that. But we need to go to the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is, do we believe that God created us, or do we believe that we're just mere animals? And that an unborn baby is just an animal that you can snuff out like you drown a puppy or like step on a bug. It doesn't matter. I mean, which is it? Well, obviously, that child is a creation of Almighty God, and the life of that child is sacred, and that child deserves protection from the moment of conception, because you and I, from the moment we were conceived, we were us. We weren't something else. We weren't a cockroach. We weren't a frog. We were us from the moment of conception, but we developed into various stages along the way. I point out, when a child is first born, that child has no ability to see as we think of it today, no ability to hear as we think of it today, and certainly no ability to take care of his or herself in any way, shape, or form. That child has no self-consciousness as we know it today. But the moment you were born, was it any less you? Of course not. It was you. It was me. So we've got to get to the heart of this issue, as opposed to dancing around the margins of the issue, trying to make some progress. Because let's be clear, the people who are trying to affect the cultural revolution aren't interested in compromising, and they aren't interested in giving up territory. They want the whole kit, bang, and caboodle. They want everything. That's what they're going for. And so I think one of the things that we've got to focus on, and this is a question I want to ask you all to be thinking about and praying about, how do we rebuild the family? I was looking at some data. I review this data quite frequently, and as you all know, the black family is frankly, for all practical purposes, decimated. Decimated. I mean, you've got 82% of children born out of wedlock in Richmond, about 80% in Detroit. It averages somewhere between 75 and 85% in some places. I believe in New York, you've got more children aborted in the black community than you have born. More abortions than births. But this is happening across the board. It's happening in the white community. It's happening in the Hispanic community. The community that seems to be happening the least in right now is the Asian community, with the Hispanic community holding a little bit better, but it's eroding everywhere, except right now the Asian community doesn't seem to be as affected as the rest. And I think you see that reflected, by the way, in how they're doing academically, how they're doing economically, the fact that they often end up in the top tier on every level because they have stable two-parent families that are raising these children, because even though they don't come from our Judeo-Christian tradition, they still have a great deal of commitment to the importance of family. And it makes a major difference, folks, a major difference. And right now, since we've got Father's Day coming up, let me just take a moment to talk about the importance of fathers. I want to know what you all think about how we can rebuild the family, because I believe most people don't talk about this issue because it's hard. I mean, this is hard stuff, but I don't think that makes it impossible. And I think you begin by talking about it. You begin by asking the question, okay, what can we do? Obviously, I think we got to raise up a generation that thinks differently than the experiences that they may have had would teach them to think. And I think that's got to happen in homeschooling, in private schools, in programs that have nothing to do with the government, because the government is completely incapable of this. You all know my background. I was born into a broken home, raised in foster care for the first 10 years of my life. But I've been married one time to the same woman, and we've been married for 52 years. It'll be 53 years in September. We have three children. That's all we have. That's all the children I have. I don't have any children out there out of wedlock. I've got three children by one woman, and that's it. Now, I don't say that to brag on myself. There but for the grace of God go I. I say that simply to point out that even though my background would not indicate a stable family, I made a couple of commitments early on in life, and then once God saved me and I began to see family through his eyes, it gave me a whole new commitment to why it was important to maintain our family and to do whatever needed to be done to make sure that we had a happy, wholesome family. And frankly, I got a tremendous advantage because at the age of 10 years old, my father took custody of me. And he couldn't teach me what it was to have a good marriage because I never saw one. And my foster parents had a kind of a marriage, but I wouldn't even go into that. But he taught me what it was and what it meant to be a man. And part of that was men take responsibility for their lives and take responsibility for the people to whom they commit. And a man doesn't go around fathering a bunch of children that you can't or won't take care of and walking away. And I'd made up my mind early on that I wasn't going to do to my children what was done to me. I wasn't going to have my children wondering, does their father love them? Does their mother love them? Is it their fault that their mother and their father aren't together? I had all those kinds of thoughts as a kid that, you know, what's wrong with me, that my parents aren't there for me. And so bringing fathers back, I think, is the critical part of getting the family right again. because, as you all know, women are, for the most part, still taking care of children. All those families I just mentioned where children are born out of wedlock, often the mothers, sometimes the grandparents, but often the mothers, very young, taking care of their children on their own without the man in their lives at all, and then sadly go on often to have multiple children by multiple men, and none of the men take responsibility for any of the children, and so the children are left to raise themselves. And that's what produces the stuff that we're seeing in the streets of our cities today. And we've got to stop it, because eventually, if it continues, we will see, be looking at other demographics at the same level that the black community is now. And folks, that means utter chaos for our country. I mean, utter chaos. Here's just a few statistics I've shared before. Fatherless homes, 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children, runaway children, 85% of children with mental and behavioral disorders, 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 75% of adolescent drug addicts, 70% of juveniles who end up in youth correctional facilities, 85% of all youth offenders who graduate to adult prison. In other words, the people who go from committing a small crime and which lands them in jail or in juvenile or in juvie end up going to adult prison. 80% of them, 85% of them come from single parent female headed households. 80% of convicted rapists, 72% of adolescent murderers. Fatherless children are three times more likely to be behind bars by the time they're 30 years old than a child from a two-parent family. They're 20 times more likely to be incarcerated than children raised in two-parent families. 56 school shootings, 82% of the people who committed those shootings grew up in a single-parent female-headed household. Children from fatherless homes are five times more likely to commit suicide, 10 times more likely to abuse drugs, 20 times more likely to suffer mental illness, 20 times more likely to do hard prison time, 14 times more likely to commit murder. And we see that happening in the streets of our cities all over this country. We've got to rebuild the family. And part of that means calling men back to their rightful places in the home as fathers. And that means teaching them what it means to be a husband and father. Pastor Marlin quoted this scripture, I think, I don't know whether it was before we started, maybe he was during the prayer, but he quoted out of Malachi chapter 2, and it's verses 14 and 15, where God says, "She is your companion, your wife by covenant. But he did not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit." And why one? He seeks godly offspring. "Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." In other words, God says, I want the family to be one, so that they can raise up to me godly offspring. And we see with the decimation of the family, that is not what is happening. I mean, we are raising up young men particularly who are just as wild as animals. In Chicago, Angela Gregg, who lost her son to one of these senseless killings while he was getting his hair cut, said she talked to the police about these young guys who get caught, and they don't catch most of them, by the way. They only have about a 12% solve rate. So that means 88% of the people who commit these kinds of murders are walking the streets of Chicago unless they're in jail for something else. So she asked the cops, what happens when you catch one of these guys who he's trying to kill his rival, and he ends up killing a five-year-old kid? What do they say when you say, you shot a five-year-old kid? How does that make you feel? Their response is collateral damage. Collateral damage. Unmoved. Unremorseful. Unrepentant. They don't care. Because they've been raised by the ethics of the streets, which is no ethics at all. It's dog eat dog. And what true manhood is, to not care about what happens to other people. True manhood is to be willing to kill somebody at the drop of a hat and have no remorse for it. True manhood is to take what you want. True manhood is to kill your rival. I mean, these are all pathological ways of relating to life, and yet they're being perpetuated in the streets of our cities. And the only way we're going to stop that, because I was one of those kids who was imbibing all of that kind of weird street ethic, and until my father got a hold of me, that's the way I was thinking. And to me, the people during that time, the people we looked up to were the guys who had been to the penitentiary. You know, that's what we called in Pennsylvania, had been to the penitentiary and come out. Because when they came out, they were tough. They were respected. They were bad. They were people. You tiptoed around them when they walked down the street. I mean, this is pathological. It's evil. And yet, that is exactly what is being taught to these kids that are running the streets of these cities and just literally wreaking havoc. I mean, committing a kind of genocide in the black community to the tune of about 10,000 black people being murdered every single year. And when these leftists say, well, that's what happens in every community. People get killed by people like them. But it's not happening at that level in any other demographic in the country, nowhere near. So to say, oh yeah, that's what happens everywhere. I mean, it's heartlessness is what it is, because this stuff has got to stop. And rebuilding the family is really the only way we've got, long term at least, of arresting all of this weirdness that is going on, this murderous spirit that is has taken root. And, of course, we know there are other things that we need to do, but I'm not going to focus on those right now. Of course, we need law enforcement up to full we need the full panoply of law enforcement tools and personnel in order to address the crime that is going on. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. And we need things like educational choice so that parents can make their choices and get their children out of these indoctrination camps that they want to call schools, where they're teaching children everything but to read. Now, I won't take time to go into that, because you all know our reading and math and science deficiencies are just, at this point, they are astronomical. COVID only worsened matters, but we were already moving away from actually teaching objective disciplines, as opposed to teaching indoctrination and sexual stuff and racial stuff and all kinds of weird stuff that leave our children in no position to have a marketable skill that they can go out into the workplace and use. They're just filled with a bunch of weird ideas that make them think they're either oppressors or they're victims, or that America's racist, and they go out hating America. They're resentful of each other. They're divided against each other. I mean, it's a travesty. But again, I think we rebuild the family, and a lot of the rest of this stuff will fall into place. Because for one thing, a strong family won't even send their children to a school like that. They'll educate the children at home, or they'll be in a position to send the child to a Christian school that reflects their values. And by the way, although I'm focused on a Christian perspective, I mean, there are a lot of traditional people who maybe come from other traditions or faiths and perspectives who don't agree with the stuff that's going on in our culture today. And as far as I'm concerned, even though they're not Christians, they're still allies. I mean, Orthodox Jews don't go along with this stuff. There are a lot of Muslims who don't go along with this stuff. And they are allies in this battle to restore sanity. But, of course, we are a Judeo-Christian country, and we believe that God designed the family to be one man and one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, and that's the only thing that actually works. And God bless those women who manage, in spite of trifling, no-account men, God bless those women who manage to raise their children and keep them out of trouble and get them educated and get them out into the workforce and have them living decent lives. God bless them. I mean, we are certainly not in any way denigrating those women and the effort they put forward. But it's not God's best, and it usually doesn't work. So let me stop there and open it up for any questions or comments. I'll make this one last thing. We've got to have candidates who are running who understand we've got to come back to God, we've got to come back to Judeo-Christian values, and we got to rebuild the American family if we have any hope for a secure future for America. By the way, we're having a patriotic rally on July the 14th, 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's why that date was chosen. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's going to be at the Richmond Marriott 500 East Broad in Richmond, Virginia. Reception's at 6, and the program starts at 7. That's July the 14th. I hope every single one of you can come and bring somebody with you. There's no charge for admission, and we'd love to have you there. We're going to be talking about some very important things that need to be done in order to help save this country, and I hope that all of you will come. Well, let me stop there. If there are any questions or comments or ideas that you have about how we're going to address these issues, I'd love to hear them. So if we've got questions or comments or ideas, let's go right to it.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. This is James Harrison with the NaturalFamilyStrong.com, and I absolutely love the family celebration idea, and I think it's genius, and here's why I say that. Number one, it is a positive approach. Christians, conservatives, we're always put in a defensive manner, and we're always, complaining about things, right? This time when we start pushing for the traditional family, what we call the natural family, it puts our enemy on the defense. And I can tell you from personal experience, a year ago, we went to the Delaware City, Ohio City Council and asked them for exactly what you're talking about, to celebrate a natural family month from Mother's Day through Father's Day. The year before, they had flown the gay pride flag. That year, they couldn't fly it because of our ask. Folks, this works. And what you're doing, brother, is you're casting a vision, a vision of the family. It's an evidence-based best practice. It's supported by the laws of nature, mm-hmm. and nature's God. It's irrefutable.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we've got to get in touch with him, Pastor Marlon, and talk to you further, because we would love to partner with you and others. And this is the first year we've done this, folks, so we also want to develop materials. We've got a beautiful a banner that we can share with you. In fact, some of you have seen the banner and have asked for it, and we got to make the banner available to you. We got to figure out what the cost is of getting a banner done and having it shipped to you. But yeah, brother, thank you so much, because that's exactly what we were trying to do. Rather than just cursing the darkness, turn on the light. Amen. All right, let's take the next one.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. This is Jose from California. So good to be back.
All right, Jose. Good to have you back.
So listening to the talk, I want to remind you and ask your input on what you think about Reverend Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade, because in 1950s, in the early 1950s in New York, it was just decimated with gang members, maybe Spanish Harlem, and the heroin use by teenagers, the sex out of wedlock and just wanton sex, and just the denigration of the child. They were bored. They were looking for companionship. They didn't have any kind of family structure. They were killing each other. What they called jitterbugging is when they have street mm-hmm. gang fights. And you know, in walks this country preacher, Wilkerson, telling him, preaching him that God's got a better plan for you. He's got a better plan for your life. So it seems like we're in a parallel situation. The cops wouldn't even go into these sections. And then another quick comment, Bishop, and that is, I read about this ACLJ newsletter about President Biden sending FBI agents in to infiltrate churches and be spies for what's called, quote, radical traditionalists. So now traditionalists are the enemy of the state, and maybe domestic enemies. Now, when are church people going to wake up? Because this is like Niemöller 2.0. First they came for the Republicans. I wasn't a Republican, so I didn't say anything. Then they came for the conservatives, and I wasn't a conservative. Then they came for the children, and I wasn't a child. Who's left to speak mm-hmm. out? So instead of being leaf fighters and fighting against all these social issues, we need to go to the heart of it, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the salvation, and he's the core of the family, and we're fighting against Satanism. So God bless you.
All right.
with you all the way, brother, and pray for you.
Thank you, Jose.
Keep up the
Thank
good.
You. God bless you, brother. Well, look, of course, everybody, it's not an either or. It's a both and. It's all of the above. We've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people because that's the only thing that's ultimately going to set them free. There is no question about that. Well, of course, we live in a country where people are free to follow other approaches. And all I'm saying is that the family works. Even, folks, even for people who are not Christians, having an intact family is better than the mess that we're seeing all over the country now. Let's continue to preach the gospel and let's do everything we can to try to restore family to its proper role in our country as well. Okay, let's take the next one.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. This is Rosemary from Media, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Rosemary. You're my home sister. Media is right next door to Chester, PA.
Yes, my brother. Yes. Hey, so good to see you in Virginia. To add on to the preaching the gospel and the former caller that said about best practices, I just like to bring up a simple but powerful routine ritual that used to be common back in the days, and that was family dinners together. And studies have shown we took it for granted. It was normal. We all would sit around the table. And my father died when I was a little girl, but yet we still had that practice. And now psychologists study that, you know, when families were together, the parents could keep a pulse, so to speak, on what their children are doing and to get a handle on whatever, you know, keep a pulse on their children.
Mm-hmm.
But studies have shown that decreased suicide, decreased depression, just with family dinners. And just
Amen.
Add that to best practices. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Rosemary. Look, you are right. That's one of those, you know, micro issues. How do you create a stable family? How do you have a strong family? You're right. Having dinner together, praying together, you know, we as Christians know the power of that. Doing devotionals together, going to church together, just spending time together. I was very, very busy as a young man, but my family and I had some wonderful vacations together where it was just us, no distractions, no other church members, no other people who were expecting or wanting something from me, and just completely focused on them. And it's not about the money, because you can do those kinds of things without spending a ton of money, but just taking time. But look, here's the important thing. We need fathers in the home to provide leadership for these things. That's the key. We've got to have fathers there to do it. Again, thank God for the mothers who have to try to do it on their own. My father had to do it for me without a mother. But ideally, God made them, as we just read. He said he made them that he might have godly offspring. Okay, let's take another one. You are on. Okay, did we lose them?
I am here. Sorry, I hit mute. Sorry. This is Janai from California, and I want to first of all say thank you. I know that you work with Jan Reese and Salt and Light Council and the Content of Character series. I thank you. I have heard you in person here in California, and I just thank you. And I want to offer this as a solution to have a Salt and Light ministry in every church, because we are contending for these issues in our churches, and that was the best answer to prayer that we found that has biblical voting, biblical voter registration. We learned that only 25% of Christians are even registered to vote, and you embody the spiritual message, but also the political message that we have to get out there and change the laws that are cutting off body parts and ruining our children. So I
Amen.
Just thank you for your position
Amen.
In the fight,
Amen.
But I just want to give that website is saltandlightcouncil.org, saltandlightcouncil.org, that
Call
everyone
it.
Can have that ministry in their church, and you are a part of that. I thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Janae. We appreciate that. Yeah, folks, Jan Reese is a wonderful person, doing a wonderful job. ministering to churches. And there are many churches, of course, where the pastor might not be as cooperative with something like that. That's why STAND is creating community-based organizations that are not necessarily based in the church. And so if you want to be a part of that and start a STAND chapter, just let us know. Contact Pastor Marlon, and he'll get you set up to do it. And again, folks, this is the first time we've done Celebrate Traditional Marriage, or as one caller put it, Natural Marriage and Family Month. We're really talking about Biblical Marriage and Family Month. We just used a word that we thought would be, would make it sound less religious and more practical. But we're really talking about the biblical model of family, because God is the one who designed the family, not man. God did it. So we hope to have more things for you next year when we do this, and to give you plenty of notice and to have those banners available so that you can take this to your church and take it to your pastor and take it to your community and just encourage people to just start talking about and celebrating marriage. Your children, because you all realize we didn't get into this and we're almost out of time, but fewer people are even getting married. Because what's the point? Nothing special about marriage, right? So we got fewer people getting married. Career is what matters now. People waiting later and later to have children. Women deciding to have children without men, because who needs a man? I mean, so, and of course, the birth rate in America has been declining now for quite some time, and we're also looking at probably getting into negative birth territory if this continues, where we literally, our population is going to be aging, and we won't have young people in significant numbers. I mean, we're looking at a sea change in the very nature of our country if we allow this cultural revolution I said we're in, if we allow it to continue. I'm sure you all probably read that California is now looking at a law that says you are automatically, and forgive me, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but you are automatically entitled to assistance to hire a surrogate to have children for you if you are a homosexual, that you're entitled to assistance to get that done, that's got to be part now of health care programs, so that two lesbians, two homosexuals, of course, they can't procreate. They will now have the assistance of the state to go out to hire someone to serve as the surrogate. I guess lesbian would hire a man, homosexual men would hire a woman to help them create what they can't create because they're in complete rebellion against God, and the biology doesn't work and the physiology doesn't work and the genetics don't work, but they're going to do it anyway in California. I think pretty sure it's California that's going to provide public assistance so that they can get that job done. I mean, this is the track we're on, where you got to find some sort of weird, bizarre scientific method to create a child. And frankly, I think they're creating these children for their own self-aggrandizement and nothing more. Because, folks, there's simply no substitute, no substitute. And I don't mean in any way to denigrate adopted children, but even adopted children, they reach a point where they want to know, where did I come from? Who did I come from? Who are my biological parents? And there's no substitute for two people coming together as God intended and having their DNA grafted into that child, and that child becoming a combination of those two people who know that they are connected spiritually as well as biologically and genetically to their mother and father. I mean, that's God's design, folks. And I realize sin has messed things up, and we need to be and ought to be adopting children, and praise God for it. But that is God's best, and we need to encourage people to start using it. Talk about best practices. That's it. So, look, God bless each and every one of you. Remind you again, we're having a patriotic rally. Spread the word. We'll be getting more information out about it on July 14th, 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, patriotic rally to secure America's future. And I hope all of you can come. So, look, in the meantime, I'll be on at 1 p.m. on American Family Radio, and I'm going to be, well, I'll be talking about the issues of the day, some things a little different than what we talked about today because this is dedicated to the family, but I hope you all can join us. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.